Inside on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is supported by Arion Talent Technology and Tools for your business. It's Arion.com. And Inside Advertising, Marketing, and Communications, a full-service advertising production and consulting group here in the Des Moines Metro, InsideCube.com.
This is the Business News Hour for a Wednesday afternoon. Welcome back. Glad you're with us, everybody. In studio with us is Frank Spillers, and Frank happens to be the principal at Global Horizons, LLC, building civility around the world is what he calls it. He is also an expert in the area of rural repopulation and rural development. Frank, welcome back to the Business News Hour. Good to see you again.
Good to have me. It's good to be here. Thank you. That's I'm the vice principal. My wife is really the principal of the company.
She really?
Yeah. I'm the vice principal.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I know how that goes.
Yeah.
It's yes, dear.
Yes, dear.
I understand. Kim, that's okay. So last week, Frank, we had the executive director of the Hancock County Development Corporation. Her name is Jill Kramer, and she was in talking about their 2.4% unemployment rate way up north in northwest Iowa there in Garner and that part of the country, but all the open jobs that they have, low unemployment, lots of jobs to fill, can't find people. Is that what's going on out there?
That's really what's going on. I mean, that is a fairly low unemployment rate, but that's normal for rural areas around Iowa. Actually, that's normal for rural areas across the country, except for pockets.
Yeah. Frank, before we go any further, tell us what Global Horizons is.
Global Horizons is a engagement company. In other words, we create environments to where people can be engaged to become what they can become, whether that's in a community, to engage in volunteerism, workforce engagement. We do a lot of work with early care and education professionals because they're helping us supply a workforce and building our next workforce. So it's all about helping people become what they can become.
You know, that whole issue about engaged employees is something that many corporations are battling right now. I mean, I saw statistics at one point that said close to 70% of employees are not engaged in their work.
Yeah, yep. Only 30%, and these are Gallup figures, 30% are fully engaged, 50% are disengaged. In other words, they just show up for work. 20% are actively disengaged. Those are the people that are actively trying to get the engaged people to disengage. In other words, yeah, they come to you at work and they'll say, oh, Tyler, why are you working so hard? You're making us all look bad. Or, you know, if you work so fast, they're going to give us more work. The interesting thing, and maybe some of the scary thing too, is Gallup did an education poll. Same figures for teachers. 30% of our educators, our teachers, are fully employed, fully engaged in what they do. They're passionate about teaching. 50% are just showing up. 20% are actively disengaged.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the cause and effect of this. I mean, the effect of disengaged workers is lower productivity, mm-hmm. high turnover, mm-hmm. I would suspect, larger costs to the company, whatever the company has to be it schools or manufacturing. What causes this disengagement?
One, it's just that people cause it. People cause it. I mean, it's are you doing what you want to do, or are you just having a job? And so we have to look at our interview practices, make sure that people are geared towards the job they get hired for. The other thing is that managers have to create the environment to where people are engaged. Have an engaged worker. We have a workshop for people leave managers; they don't leave companies. Because of it's a relationship issue. So we really focus on the human factor of building community, building businesses. The engagement process right now is a $300 billion
really?
Cost annually to our businesses. $300 billion in lost revenue.
How did we get to this point, Frank?
I'm not quite sure. And actually, it's been there for a long time. Gallup has done this poll, and it hasn't moved in 20 years. It really hasn't moved in 20 years.
You know, that's astounding because, well, it used to be, and now I sound like my father all the time, you know, because it used to be that you had a job and you were loyal to that job and you were loyal to that workplace and you went to work every day and you worked hard and you got ahead and everything went well. And at some point in time, you would then retire, you know. And you maybe had 40 years on the job. But that's not the same anymore. People are very much mobile. They don't join corporations for that sense of belonging. There's lots of different things going on.
Well, they do. They do join a corporation for a sense of belonging now. This generation does. But we are looking at a new workforce coming in that's going to have seven different careers, if not more, over the course of their lifetime. And so we have to adjust. Our economy has to adjust to this, of what is the worker wanting now and how do we start to engage them into our workforce.
I want to get into this rural repopulation redevelopment for just a moment, but I want to stay on this tack for just a second. So we've identified the problem. It's disengaged workers. How do we fix that? How do we go about engaging people? Is that a change in leadership? Is it a change in management style? Is it a change in expectations? What is it?
Well, I think it's a couple of things. One is how do we treat people, and how do we work with the worker? Now the worker wants to be engaged in what the business is doing, and so that's sharing your vision, sharing your mission with that, and fully getting the employee to back what they're doing. I mean, when we have there's a saying in chamber development, it's if they underwrite it or if they write it, they'll underwrite it. And so if you help that, if the employee is going to help them build the business, they will be a loyal employee. The other thing is look at your family policies. Are you considered a family-friendly business? We do a lot of early care and education. So what is your early care and education policy? Do you care about where and who is taking care of your workers' kids? That can improve your productivity by 40%.
If they don't have that as a sticking point in the back of their mind, you know, paid family leave and all of those other things really do trickle up.
You know,
and make a much more productive workforce. Interesting stuff. And I'm glad that we had that discussion. It's not where I wanted to go necessarily, but that engagement of employees is so important, and it costs so much money. Our guest is Frank Spillers. He's with Global Horizons, a company out of rural Iowa, interestingly enough. You spent a lot of time in rural Iowa, right?
I've spent my career in rural America, basically, over 30 years working with communities in rural economic development.
How's it going out there?
It's, rural has always had that downward trend. Mm-hmm. I mean, I work with counties that they haven't had a population increase in over 100 years.
Wow.
And that's kind of it. And so when we're talking about an engaged workforce and we're talking about rural, how do we revitalize rural America, we're really talking about the same thing. How do you engage the population out there, and how do you engage a community to accept new people?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of things that are stacked, you know, the deck is stacked against rural Iowa, and you just mentioned a couple of things. One is, you know, it's not the same world today as what it was 30 years ago. Minority groups are on the rise in rural Iowa as they are in urban Iowa. And acceptance of those individuals and having jobs that will pay a living wage are all critically important. Do some folks not understand that?
Well, yeah. Now, I think what rural Iowa has to do, what rural America has to do is get out of the definition of insanity, doing the same things in the same way, expecting different results. Rural America can no longer afford to recruit. And recruit companies to bring jobs to us. And we just, it's too expensive. And really, all we're doing is shifting jobs. And there's companies out there that target rural areas. I'm not going to be real popular when I say this, but companies out there that target rural areas because they're so job hungry.
Yeah.
And so they will give away the farm to that company. The company will use up all the tax incentives in 5 years and then move on to the next rural area because, you know, we're so job hungry out there. That's That's all we want.
We need people.
And community leaders. But the other thing, the thing I want to talk about with rural Iowa and the asset that we have mm-hmm. is our telecommunication system. We have more mom-and-pop telephone companies in this state than any other state in the country. And so a lot of these are mom-and-pop independent phone companies, right. are small businesses located in those communities. And so when you do business with a small business in that community, they respond. You're not working with a large corporation and telemarketers and all that. You're working with that small. But so they have fiber to the home. Fiber to the home.
So many of these small rural communities are now blazing internet speeds mm-hmm. in small towns because these smaller telecoms have invested that money, and now they're seen as beacons of light out there.
Oh, it is. And so here's our opportunity in Iowa is to recruit entrepreneurs that can work at home or commute and work with our metro businesses, because metro businesses are – that we're fighting an unemployment rate across the state of that low. And so we have to look at making family-friendly policies again. Do we allow telework? And Gallup has done research on this, that if you allow telework for another, 2 days a week, you increase your engagement factor by 30% on that employee. Yeah. And if we're wired the way we're wired, we can have people working at home, commuting to the city for 2 or 3 days a week, and still working at home. We just have to get out of our box to where if you're at home, we can't trust that you're working. And I think that's the biggest factor.
And I've seen those same studies, Frank, where they say that engaged employees, people that work from home, tend to be much more productive.
Mm-hmm.
And counterculture to that is what most people think, you're sitting around in your pajamas and you're not being productive.
But we really have to look at how are we feeding the metro areas, because the young people come into the metro areas from schools, and so they out-migrate. That's where the metro areas have been getting their job force. And so it's kind of the emptying out. So if we can recruit and target 30 to 49-year-olds to move into a rural area, they bring 10 to 14-year-olds with them.
Sure.
So we're increasing schools.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's critical out in the rural areas is our critical care access hospitals are teetering because of reimbursement rates, and the Medicaid formulas and Medicare out there are very much tipped against rural areas. And so some of their funding is going away, too. So, and if we don't have health care access out there, we're getting an elderly population that's living in a rural area, no health care access. The schools are losing. So there really has to be a turnaround in how we do economic development in rural areas and how you think about your community. And, and when I say we need to welcome new people or learn how to, that's the first thing we do is we help a community understand and work with them to, how do you treat new people? And new people can be from Florida. They can be from that western state called Nebraska that you might not like
for football
who they support for a football team. And so here's a story that I was doing a workshop one time, and a lady stood up and said, I went to a school board meeting, and she had a couple of kids in school, but she'd only lived in the town for two or three years.
Mm-hmm.
Stood up and said her piece, and when she sat down, the lady next to her said, you had no right to talk in this meeting. She said, well, what do you mean I don't have a right to talk? She said, you haven't lived in this town long enough.
Yeah.
And that's a symptom and of how we're losing our population.
Be more welcoming. To all of it.
WUCA.
What does that mean?
To be WUCA, that's our philosophy. That's our book that we have out. It's called To Welcome, Understand, Comfort, and Appreciate Yourself and Others. So
there
to be WUCA, it's the art of getting along.
There you go. Well, we're going to be WUCA out of here. We got to go. It's nigh on to 6 o'clock. Thank you, Frank. Frank Spillers, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Global Horizons. We will have this and other things up on the podcast for today. Thanks so very much for hanging out with us this afternoon. On the control controls tonight is our good friend and producer. His name is Tyler Hackenmiller. Patrick Wood is the new guy for the radio stations. Welcome to him. I'm just thinking out loud. Jimmy Olsen is the voice of Insight on Business. James Goodlett is the... I'm sorry, the voice is just going today. James Goodlett is the person that put all this together. Mary Sayer is the liaison between our advertising agency and the Des Moines Radio Network. All right, we got to go. It's Diane at 6 o'clock. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night.